Welcome to Speed Vector, the podcast dedicated to the art, risk, and obsession of speed flying. I'm your host, Victor Garcia, speed flyer, skydiver, cinematographer, Navy veteran, and full-time gravity junkie. Every week, we dive into the lines we fly, the gear we trust, and the stories that push us past the ridge and into the void. Whether you're just learning to launch or chasing the perfect line, this is where speed flyers come to connect, learn, and stoke the fire. This is Speed Vector. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Speed Vector podcast. This is episode one. Can't believe it. Here we are recording this with a lapel mic and on GarageBand, but you got to start somewhere. I already had this equipment, so here we go. Apologize in advance for the dogs barking in the background. It's kind of lame, but my dogs are awesome. Me and my girlfriend's dogs are awesome, and they're vocal, and there's no way for me to avoid that in this moment. So we're rolling with it. Ha. Well, thanks for being here once again. Wanted to just throw out an initial episode to kind of let everybody know what this is and that it's a thing and that it's going to hopefully grow into something a lot bigger than just me in the guest room on a lapel mic recording into GarageBand. We'll find out though. Basically, Speed Vector is filling a need that I personally want, which is a podcast dedicated to speed flying. There's some great podcasts out there about air sports. A couple to name is the Exit Point podcast. It's a base jumping podcast. Occasionally they have people on that are base jumpers that also speed fly and paraglide. Like Dante was on recently, super sick episode. Talked about speed flying a little bit. Talked about paragliding more. Excuse me. Talked about base jumping. Love that podcast. Lots of inspiration there. I listened to it. I am not a base jumper. I wanted to be for a while, for many years, actually. And when the push came to shove and it was time to go to the bridge and do the thing, I did not go at all. Been signed up for about 2 years now. It's all good. Life goes on, literally. The other podcast that I love in regards to air sports is Cloud-Based Mayhem. That's a fantastic podcast. Guy, I forget his name, rad dude. It's got a lot of really cool people on all the time. Very active podcast. It's pretty consistent about posting new material. And he's had a couple of guys on, I think. Maybe, I know Patrick Hennessy was on. 2018 time frame. That was all about speed flying because that's what Pat does. He had the dude that started Flair, which is, you know, the mustache and now the line, and then most recently the prop. It's a parakite system. It's pretty rad. We'll dive into that for sure on this podcast because I'm a big fan of parakites. But with that being said, there's not a lot of speed fly content out there in regards to a podcast format. I'm a huge podcast nerd. I listen to music in the car about 15 minutes before I get to a hike where I'm going to speed fly, or the airport where I'm going to skydive. I use it as a pump up tool. I've used it in some races in the past. But in regards to just like driving, I am listening to podcasts. And there just isn't a lot of info in the podcast realm on this sport. And I think that needs to change. I think it's going to change. I could be completely wrong. I think there's one that's in existence, but it's in French. And my French is absolutely dreadful. I know like three words. Merci. Merci beaucoup. I know croissant, Mont Blanc, and Abbey de Minimi. I didn't even get that right. It's another mountain out by Mont Blanc in Chamonix. Anyway, Goodness, I digress. Yeah, man, speed flying. It's rad and it's booming. We're kind of in the golden age, I think. I mean, Ooshpa just made its own like speed fly license. You know, the S. S is for speed fly, so there's S1 to S5. And just like a P1 or an H1, there was an M1. I think there still is a mini wing. So, you know, before the last, I don't know, year or two, maybe three, there was no way to get an S rating. And you could get your paraglide rating, and then you could get your mini wing rating. You could even get your hang glide rating. But as far as speed flying went, there was none of that. A little bit of controversy behind that topic. I won't dive into it too far, but it's good news. It's good. Like, I know people get all up in arms about regulation and stuff, but honestly, if you want speed flying to grow, it needs to be recognized by the governing body of similar sports like paragliding. So that's a huge win. I think we're moving in the right direction. There's also a ton of new manufacturers, or not new, but they were already established for the most part in the air sports world, like Ozone, like Level Wings. You know, I mean, Fluid Wings is a little bit newer. They're more were more in the skydiving realm. Now they're in the speed flying world, and they make awesome wings. There's obviously, you know, Mirage, or not Mirage, that's the name of the wing. There's Swing paragliders that makes the Mirage. Ozone and Swing have been around for a long time. They're not new. But the point is that not only are they is they're pushing speed flying, but they're also making an assortment of wings from both like first day, you know, in the field kiting your speed wing to like the gnarliest, biggest lines in the world. You know, on like a 6.5 meter, you know, R3X. Like the stuff that people are doing now in 2025 was not possible 10 years ago. Maybe some would argue it is, but I'm just, the wings were not as good. They are so good now. Like I get more range in terms of like flat glide out of my 9 meter Rapidos, which is not the newest wing that Ozone makes, than I do with an 11 meter original Mirage. Granted, it's new, like even though it was, you know, it was manufactured 5 years ago, right? But it's brand new. So that could play a factor. I get that, but like if you compare the Rapidos to the RX3 or the R3X, however you say it. The R3X is even better. Like on the Rapidos 9 meter at a 2.1 per square foot wing load, I am getting just over 4.5 feet glide ratio. So 4.5 feet horizontal to 1 foot down vertically with the trim closed. That's insane. I mean, that's like absolutely ridiculous. I think with the Mirage probably getting like three. Maybe 3.5 feet out with trim closed, 1 foot down, and then with it open, it's like a 2-to-1. I mean, it's not as fast because it's an 11 meter, but you're descending quickly. And then with the 9 meter Rapidos, you know, you open up the trim, it's got a huge trim range. You are hauling booty, and I'm still probably getting like a 3.5 if I'm like not, you know, purposely diving, like if I'm not in a turn or leaning way forward or whatever. But anyway, I digress again. Pretty ADHD. There's going to be a lot of digressions in this pod, especially when it's just me talking to myself. But yeah, so with the advent of, or with Ushba bringing on the Speedfly rating and the manufacturers stepping up their game with the R&D and the multiple wings, you know, and now there's a bunch of schools popping up that have been around, you know, that like the Utah guys, apologize, I forget the name of your school, you know, Point of the Mountain there in Salt Lake City. I think it's actually Draper, Utah. Pretty awesome spot to learn, awesome spot to fly, even if you already know what you're doing. Pretty iconic area. They have been around for a while. So has Airsports Chelan. Todd who I know personally, who I definitely look up to as kind of a mentor type, has been around for a long time, pretty much since the beginning. But you know, speed flying is a new sport. You know, you look at skydiving, it's been around since, you know, I mean, World War II, people were jumping out of planes into France, you know, the 101st Airborne and a bunch of others, like jumping rounds. But that was in the 40s. People were skydiving in the 40s, you know, and before that too. It wasn't like a new thing then. Obviously the technology has changed with the advent of squares and square parachutes, you know, and then cross braced parachutes and stuff. But if you look at it, it's been around for a really long time. The first like true documented speed flight was in France in like 2004. I forget the guy's name, Francois something, and one other guy. They flew off Mont Blanc, and they essentially had, I mean, it was essentially like a Ram Air square parachute that they just like rigged up to fit in a harness that wasn't attached to the shoulders and flew down the mountain. If you compare that footage to what people are doing now on Mont Blanc with the current equipment, it's like absurd. I mean, you can't even compare it. It's like apples and oranges, totally different. So different. Very cool. Very cool to see. And then even more recently with the advent of parakites by Flare Global, or Go Flare Global with the mustache, that's completely changing the game. I mean, completely, you know. And they had the mustache for a while, and then they came out with the line not that long ago, maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago now. The line's insane. I've got a 13 meter, thing's super fun. It's very different. We can dive into that in another episode. It's like an episode in itself, really. That thing, super fun, but it's crazy because you have so much range, you know. I can get an 8-to-1 glide ratio out of my 13 meter line. I can also get a 2-to-1 if I just raise my hands, and it flies as at 13 meter, right? Flies just as fast as my 9 meter Rapidos, if not faster in certain instances. It is different, obviously, because you got a longer line set and it's a 13 meter wing versus a 9 meter. So it's just fundamentally, it's going to act a little different, but in terms of the speed, it's absurd. And the swoops on those things are insane. You swoop for days. It's amazing. Like I said, whole different episode. But yeah, I digress again, because goodness, that was a rabbit hole waiting to happen. Thankfully, I climbed the ladder out of that one. So who am I? That's a tough one. It's a tough one to answer. Question I'm asking myself. You'd think I'd be prepared for this, but here we are. Basically, my dad and my mom were both skydivers. They both stopped jumping about the time I was born, and I always had kind of a obsession with air sports from afar. You know, I was a kid, just like whatever I could look at. You know, if I saw skydivers driving by a random drop zone, or seeing pictures of my dad jumping and my mom jumping, you know, when they were younger. You know, this is in like the 90s, so the internet didn't exactly exist yet. YouTube wasn't a thing, and couldn't just like go on YouTube and be like skydiving and get all stoked. It was a little bit harder to find info. In 2015, I was ski patrolling at Snowbird rather, in Utah, and I met somebody, I don't remember his name, but he introduced me to Neil Amundsen, who's still a GoPro Bomb Squad guy. Is also a big Kavu guy. He took me on my first tandem for a six pack of beer, which was rad, because it's like, you know, I think the national average right now is about $350. So yeah, he introduced me to it. I wanted to get my A license, but I was like, you know, 20 years old and didn't have the money for it. Ended up joining the Navy and did that for the better part of a decade. I was a corpsman. Started jumping while I was in the Navy on the civilian side, got all the way up to my C license and pretty close to my D license. I had big aspirations in that sport. I was planning on, you know, going down the, at least the AFFI route, maybe TI, but I ended up discovering speed flying and did my first flight at Point of the Mountain after acquiring a speed wing from a coworker at a drop zone in Hawaii, doing like 12 hours of kiting because all of the launches in Hawaii are like, I mean, could handle them now, but back then, man, when I didn't know what I was doing, it probably would have not been good, or it would have been good and given me too much confidence and then eventually got bad. So I'm thankful for kind of how that went. But anyway, yeah, was driving through Salt Lake and did like 10 laps. And after that first lap, I had this video, this GoPro video of myself. I like took my helmet off, my skydive camera flying helmet off, and recorded myself, my true reaction to it. And it was just complete and utter stoke. And just like, I literally was like, I think that just changed my life. And it did. I haven't done a skydive in almost a year now. I'm not current at all. I mean, I keep saying I want to get back into it. Just got my reserve repacked. But man, speed flying has just got me. It's just got me by the throat and won't let me go. And man, I love it. I love it. So I'm a bit of a gear junkie. I have flown, I don't know, 10 or 12 different wings at this point, and put a lot of time on all of them. You know, I think minimum probably 50 or 60 flights per wing. And the wings that I like that I actually own, I've got even more on those, obviously, because that's like my daily, so that's what I fly. Currently flying a 9-meter Rapidos. Thing is rad. I've also got a 13-meter I've got a 13-meter line. Sorry, my dogs were freaking out. And I've got a 10-meter Fizz, which is super fun to speed ride. Got a couple of speed ride laps in this season, or this past season, which was cool. It's also fun to foot launch. I just need a little bit of wind because it's divey. It's really steep. Solid wing, though. I've got an 11-meter Mirage, like I said. I've got a 16-meter Apis RS, which is a mini wing, but because of how big it is, it feels like a full-size paraglider, and it scares the crap out of me. I really don't fly that much. I think that's the only wing that I don't have like at least 50 or 60 reps with. Like, I don't have that much time under it because I feel like every time I fly it, I'm up a lot longer than I want to be, and it's just not consistent, so it kind of freaks me out. But yeah, it's kind of who I am. This podcast is not meant to be in place of instruction. I highly, highly, strongly encourage anybody listening to this that doesn't already have professional training to go to a school. Pay the $2,000 or $3,000. If you go there with your equipment, it's cheaper. Learn how to do it, because if you're coming from skydiving like I was, you already know how to fly a canopy, but it's different, and you don't have a spotter on the ground in conjunction with a pilot turning a green light on telling you when to exit the plane. You have to make those decisions on your own. So a big part of the schools is learning how to make those decisions properly, because it is the difference between like at least driving home in one piece or not. I mean, it might not always be a life and death scenario unless you're really hanging it out there, but you can really hurt yourself if you screw up like launching when you don't want to launch, or you just scare the crap out of yourself and ruin the sport for you, which arguably is, it's not worse, but it could be, you know. I mean, if you have a funky like flight because you made a bad decision based on the weather that you didn't understand because you didn't go to the course, then, you know, you might never want to do it again. And who knows where the sport will take you. So it's, I highly encourage getting proper training to whatever degree that is. And that doesn't mean like calling your buddy up that has 100 speed flights to have him teach you. He can probably teach you some stuff, but he also doesn't know what he's doing. So go get proper instruction from people that know what they're talking about, that are current, that have current curriculum, that can help you be a safe pilot for the rest of your life. And I hope that the rest of your life is like another 50 years of flying, if not longer. It depends on how old you are. So yeah, Speed Vector Podcast, we're here. We're doing it. I obviously don't have huge expectations. I just enjoy the thought of putting out something that people will benefit from. You know, if you are curious about speed flying and you go on to whatever podcast platform that you consume your podcast in, you type in speed flying, I hope that you find this podcast and I hope that it inspires you to try the sport out, to get proper training, to do the research, and to pursue an activity that honestly will probably change your life for the better. It certainly did mine. There's a lot of value to be gained from this sport. There's also a lot of value to be gained from air sports in general. But really what it is there's the value comes in the people, right? Like you like hike up a mountain with your friends or people you just met, you know, you conversate, whatever. You have this amazing experience where you're scared and there's a little bit of unknown and you know, you're really dialed in and you're really paying attention. And then you launch and you fly your line and you have a great landing and you slap hands and get all stoked, you know, and your day is just better. You're just having a better day. And that's what drew me. Once I was in skydiving, it drew me further into it because of that. You know, like when you're jumping, nothing else really exists. You don't have any issues. There's no like bills. There's no not there's no responsibility. It's not about like escaping responsibility, but it's more just about like being fully present. It doesn't make you an irresponsible person to do this stuff, especially if you're doing it safely, but it makes you present. And I think that is where the true value is in these kind of sports, you know, whether it's mountain biking or skiing or, you know, that those sports do have, you do get a taste of this fully present experience that I'm referring to in other sports that are land-based, but it's different because you're not in the air. Like if you get freaked out skiing and you're able to stop, you stop. You know, you can traverse out of terrain, you can kind of work your way through it. Same thing with mountain biking. You know, you don't have to go down the double black diamond downhill track. You can take the like fun, flowy blue that has some berms and tabletops. Like, that's cool. But with speed flying, as soon as you leave the ground, you're in the air, you know? So there's kind of like risk, but just the default setting for minimum risk in speed flying is way higher than the default setting in like other sports that aren't, you know, air-based, that are ground-based. I'm not taking away from them. You can definitely get pretty gnarly with all the other stuff, but my point is that it doesn't always equate to the same experience and the same outcome and value gained. So that was a big tangent, but here we are once again back on track. I'm hoping to get an episode out a week. I'm hoping that it's valuable. I'm hoping that it's not just a rant like today is. I just wanted to get something recorded to get it out there, to get the ball rolling, because once I do that, I will be dedicated to keeping it going. You can find Speed Vector Podcast on Instagram and on YouTube. Instagram, I believe, is speed underscore vector, and YouTube is just speed vector. I'm gonna put this episode up on the YouTube and on Apple and Spotify and wherever else I can find. I'm also going to put it on my Instagram or on the Speed Vector Instagram, and I'm gonna link the full show to where you can listen to it. So just keep your eyes open. This is a podcast about speed flying and everything that comes with it. I hope to have your attendance. I hope you listen. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that it leads people to the sport. I also hope that it helps grow the sport in a positive, healthy, and safe way. And beyond that, I think that's about all I've got for today. So we'll talk to you next time. Have fun. fly safe. Make sure you look cool while you're doing it. Speed Vector, out.